everybody. This is former CSU running back Kyle Bell, and you are listening to my main man, Brady Hole, on The Hole Show. Do not turn your dial. Keep it right here.
All right, the picks have been weird lately without so many games to pick. I think it's safe to say I had a pretty rotten year. Pretty rotten year of picks. Thursday night special, coming back to life. The rest. So, Angel, we got Lions, we got Broncos. Lions favored by 4.5. Where are you going?
Talked a lot about this. I think the Lions are angry. I think they're at home. I think they're trying to get right. I think they cover.
What other games do you want to pick?
We have some Mountain West football action this weekend. New Mexico State and Fresno State. Aggies are 3.5-point favorites.
Favorites, huh? Give me Fresno State to win that game. What else we got?
Another Mountain West team.
Where are you going with that?
I think New Mexico State.
Okay.
And then we have UCLA and Boise State. UCLA 5.5-point favorite.
I'm going to go UCLA. I like the new coach idea maybe, but I think the magic ends. Plus, it's weird. I don't know. It's crapshoot bowl season, but give me UCLA.
I need Boise State.
Okay. Is that it? Okay, so now you're waiting on me. Broncos Lions. Win this game. I think a lot of things are going to open up for you. This is it. This is that fork in the road for the Broncos right now. If you go right, the playoffs are they're either in your grasp or they're within your grasp. You go left, you could still get in, but you missed out on a prime opportunity. That Lions run game really scares me. They have been turning the football over a lot. The Broncos have been forcing a lot of turnovers. That combo could really help out. Does Jared Goff settle back down within this offense? Lean on that run game. Boy. -4.5, Angel? Is that what it is? Detroit -4.5. I had a bad feeling about this a couple of weeks ago, but I feel like Shawn Michaels getting ready to kick Ric Flair when he's down. When he's about to go down. I'm sorry, Broncos country. I love you. Detroit is covering 4.5 this weekend, and it will severely impact the Broncos' playoff chances. Good night, Northern Colorado.
Football Friday.
For the thousands in attendance and the millions watching around the world, ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to rumble! Wilson floats it. There's Judy. Pass caught. Judy still going. Down inside the 20. And touchdown, Denver Broncos.
Look at my horse. My horse is amazing.
Wilson's going to take a shot. Has his man. It's caught. Wide open. It's Mims. Touchdown.
What kind of a horse is that? I've never seen a horse like that before.
Wilson throws, it's up for grabs, and it's caught for the touchdown by Sutton.
That's a horse of a different color. Come on in.
And the pressure in the end zone and a sack. The safety for Zach Allen.
Presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza.
Can the Broncos keep it going against the Detroit Lions, a monster game coming up for Denver, and a monster game coming up for Detroit as well. They've had a weird little hiccup in their season, losing to Chicago last week, 28-13, getting smoked. Where you've got like the national media saying, "Hey, are the Lions frauds?" You know, they were cooking all season long. They were good record. Very good record. 9-4. They're at the top of the NFC North. Minnesota's behind them. Minnesota's got some issues going on with the quarterback thing, but they should win their division. But if they lose this game, I think that it gets close, man. So this is why I said at the beginning of the show, Angel, I think this is the worst time to catch this Lions team. This is the worst time ever.
Yeah, I think a lot of us, maybe this is kind of where we thought the Lions could be after their kind of hot end of the season last year. A couple years in now with Dan Campbell, you may have figured out Jared Goff a little bit. You're getting some offensive pieces back. That defense has a nice little attitude to it. But I feel like maybe they've lost a little bit of that, and maybe that's, you know, the culture catching up with them, or maybe they're overachieving a little bit early in the season. But, you know, they beat the Chiefs. They've handled their division games for the most part. But they still do have to play the Vikings twice in the year.
Yeah, so they can control kind of their own destiny mm-hmm. when it comes to that. But, you know, you talk about Jared Goff, and Jared Goff, a good story last year. You know, he was the man dealt from the Rams and forgotten about. And three years ago, the Rams were winning a Super Bowl, and it was like, dang, it really sucks to be Jared Goff.
He took him to a Super Bowl.
He took him to a Super Bowl. The one that they won was not him. Mm-hmm. He goes to Detroit. He gets shipped away. Like I said, Jon Snow to the wall. And Jared Goff comes out of this
as Lord Commander
and turned out pretty good. However, the last couple of games, this has looked a lot more like that Jared Goff that was dealt and viewed as expendable when he was with the Rams. You know, it's been a rough go. He's thrown 5 interceptions. He's lost 3 fumbles over the last 4 games. That's led to 2 losses and a 12-point deficit in a comeback win over Chicago a month ago. So it was still a rough go, even with some of those wins. But Dan Campbell is interesting. Like, he's coming out saying, no, we're not going to try to slow things down. We're not going to try to play it safe. We're still going to try to get Goff into a rhythm. We're not going to be a conservative. Kind of the opposite of what the Broncos are doing, right? Is what Dan Campbell's saying they're going to do with the Lions. We're going to go more of a, we're going to keep doing what we're doing. We're not going to go conservative and try to slow things down. So this game it's a little scary. I think the Lions are, what did I say, they're 4.5-point favorites at this stage. Is that right?
4.5.
I don't like this game. I think the Broncos are they better defensively? This Broncos team has been awesome. There's no doubt. And they should be able to force a lot of turnovers. I do think the defense is going to force some turnovers here. But you have to be able to capitalize on those. And I think at times the offense is trying to figure that out. They've done that a little bit better the last couple of weeks. But being able to take advantage of those turnovers will be key. And you're not going to have – it's not Staley on the other side here. This is a team that is a good football team in Detroit. They've stumbled the last month, maybe you know, late November going into the last 2 weeks. I feel like this team is going to take it personal that they got beat last week by Chicago. My fear is that this is when they start to figure things out. But then again, the Broncos, you can't argue. They have been red hot, 7-6 after starting 1-5.
I think we talked about it last week about the Broncos potentially getting in a shootout type of game. The Lions score about 26 points per game. And, you know, the offense has been serviceable, but do you trust them enough to, okay, we're going to have to go score for score here? Because I think the Lions have one of the better offenses in the league.
Mm-hmm.
They've stumbled a bit getting in their own ways sometimes. But also, you know, playing on the road again, you look at the last 2 road games, Houston, decent home field, but Detroit is on another level, especially now that they have a good team.
Yeah, I think this is a team that's on another level that's just stumbled. I think that they just stumbled. Every team in the NFL could say that. Every team stumbling. Miami stumbled last week. We're seeing
stumbling into an ambulance.
Yeah, we're seeing teams stumble. The Chiefs are, everybody's worried about them. Like, the Ravens right now are the only team that's not really stumbling. And maybe the Niners and the Cowboys, but the Niners stumbled at the beginning of the season.
Yeah,
you know, early.
It's like the Niners, the Ravens, and I'm not 100% on the Cowboys just yet, but, you know, those are 3 teams. The Eagles have stumbled a bit as of late, so You know, it's the NFL. It's a week-by-week league.
Oh, it feels more wide open than ever right now. In the AFC especially. It just feels like anybody could take this thing. But on the NFC side of things, obviously you have San Francisco sitting at 10-3 and Dallas at 10-3. Detroit's not out of the top seed talk at all. Only a game back from both those teams. So obviously a win for them this weekend would go a long way.
Well, I mean, they're 2-2 in the division. Minnesota's 2-1. Packers are 2-2. So, I mean, that division, if the Packers can get on a hot streak, if the Vikings can figure it out, they're all fighting for wild card spots, if not the top four.
Top four. And like I said, Detroit, win this game, you're at 10-4. And I don't know who the Cowboys and the Niners have this week, but, you know, if you...
Cowboys play the Bills.
Okay.
Niners... have already clinched a playoff spot, and they're playing at Arizona.
So Niners probably win. Cowboys should win, but Are the Bills clicking? Oh. Well, we'll find out.
Oh, no clicking. If they find a way
to beat Dallas, it's kind of a must-win game for the Bills.
They have to basically win out.
Yeah, they have to. And I'm going to go over kind of the playoff standings and the watch, too, like the teams you should be looking out for this weekend. If you're the Broncos, you can't really change the script. You want to keep doing what you're doing. You want to bank on your defense making big plays. Not bank on it, but you want to play the game as if that's going to happen, meaning you're conservative for the most part. That you're going to play to everybody's strengths and not put Russell Wilson in a difficult situation where you're gonna, you have to be worried about the shootouts, Angel. You don't want to get in a situation where, you know, Detroit goes up 14-0 to start the game, and there's the script. You know, I don't know that maybe in Russ in his prime time with Seattle, you could do those things. You could be down 14-0, and then Russ is going to cook for a little bit, and then you come back and catch up, and it's just like that's 14-7, and it's a manageable game. But I don't think this offense is built like that. And let me just say this. This is a lot of people are talking up Courtland Sutton. Courtland Sutton is one great play. And that's awesome because it's helped them win. But Angel, I'm telling you right now, I'm telling you, Hooligans, the Broncos don't have a consistent great weapon on offense. And everyone's throwing Sutton to the Pro Bowl, Sutton to the Pro Bowl. If touchdowns can get you in the Pro Bowl, then he should go. But if it's touchdowns, receptions, and yards mixed together, then he's not going to go.
What's the depth chart for them right now? Sutton, Judy, Mims.
Humphrey in there as well. No Dulcich again this weekend. I know they're really wanting to work him in. So it's Sutton, Judy, Mims, little Jordan Humphrey. And then I think Brandon Johnson's activated, and he's like down the road too. But then at the tight end position, it's Adam Trautman, Chris Mannertz, and Nate Adkins. And, you know, tight ends have been playing a little bit better for them the last couple of games. But again, this is a reception by committee offense. It's Russ doing a good job of this, is finding different guys. But there's no big threat that's a go-to guy on this team right now.
Well, you're not really seeing them, you know, stretch the field as much, you know, taking deep shots down the middle, running those kind of go routes, seam routes. It's more kind of not dink and dunk, but the next stage of
pretty much. And he did have
dip and dodge, maybe.
Yeah, I thought Jerry Jeudy was going to get going last week too, because one of the first plays of the game against the Chargers was quick slant to Jeudy in the middle of the field, and I was like, wait. Russell Wilson starting the game, throwing in the middle of the field? Wait, Russell Wilson's going to a wide receiver in the middle of the field to start the game? And then it didn't, you know, he had a couple more down the seam, in the middle of the seam, to tight ends, but consistently it's just not there. They're not going to the middle of the field. The ball's getting knocked down.
Is it part of that script, your opening drive script a little bit?
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, we'll see. We'll throw some different looks at him, see what works, and then in-game adjustments aren't being as drastic as you'd maybe want them to be.
Yeah, well, it's just a team that's not going to take a lot of risk. And if you're throwing down the middle of the field with Russell Wilson, who we know gets his passes batted down a lot, or batted up, or just put up in a different situation. If this team turns the ball over, if offensively they turn the ball over, they're going to lose games. You know, they had that turnover last week to the Chargers. Luckily, the Chargers charged them. Didn't even take the free 3 points. I mean, you take the 3 points there. And maybe that changes some tempo and changes how you're viewing things the rest of the game. But to come up empty when you get the ball inside their own 10 is demoralizing. And that's Brandon Staley. That's why he's no longer the head coach for the Chargers. That's just one other thing going against him. But if you turn it over, I don't think the Broncos have the offense to really overcome that.
How much stock do you put in that they haven't played a bona fide starting quarterback in a while?
Well, there is a lot to be said for that. I hate to rain on the parade because 7-6 is 7-6 at the end of the day. You don't apologize for wins in this league. But I'm not going to come out here and simply say the Broncos have had, they've gone through the gauntlet and they've lived to tell about it.
It's Kellen or Josh Dobbs or...
And Josh Dobbs is no longer a starting. He's third string now.
Now DTR with Cleveland.
And he's back up now.
Stick for the Chargers last week. And then CJ Stroud, he's a starter, but he's a rookie.
Yeah, so you just got to be really careful here. The Packers win is a big win, but this isn't college football. We're not going to look back and then go, oh, that win turned out to be a quad one win that actually turned out really well. No.
And it's an NFC win.
The Packers weren't playing very well at that point. Then they went on a stretch and played okay, and then they kind of got found out a little bit on Monday night. The Chiefs are in their spiral mode right now. Do I think they'll recover and be a threat in the playoffs? I do, until proven otherwise. They've earned that.
As long as they're on sides.
And apparently... Apparently, Travis Kelce didn't go to Taylor Swift's birthday, and it's like a TMZ report.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, no, it's like Travis Kelce can't attend because he has to go to practice. And in the NFL, practices are mandatory.
Oh, it's like he has an actual job.
It's the
He's
Super
not on stage just singing sad songs.
It's the Super Bowl media is now. You remember when the Super Bowl happens? You get all these media members that don't follow football at all, and they're asking the stupid questions. Well, now they're following football. Like, apparently Travis Kelce can't go to Taylor Swift's birthday because he has to practice.
Almost like there's a rule that you have to have a certain number of practice reps to play in a game or something.
Stupid. But they are catching they caught the Chiefs at a weird time. And the Bills were on a downward spiral at that time. And obviously, you got stupidity on the Bills' part for having 12 men on the field, on the kickoff, on the mm-hmm. field goal. Vikings, like you said, Dobbs is now a third string quarterback, Browns, and then Chargers. So I'm not apologizing for wins. This has been epic for the Broncos. This has been awesome. This is a sign of great things to come. This game against the Lions, although the Lions are in a weird spot, does feel like perhaps the real test coming in. Maybe the Bills was. I mean, the Bills on the road, it's a big win for Denver.
Yeah.
That's a big win for Denver. But this at Detroit, you know, you could argue that the Bills were going through some stuff. The Lions are going through some stuff. This is about equal to that road trip and that game as far as how difficult this task is going to be for the Broncos. And I'll just be curious to see how if Denver can stay the course, if Sean Payton can stay with that run game, and Javonte Williams and McLaughlin and Samaje Perine can continue to be a big part of what this team's trying to do. Offensive line, who's been holding up nicely and really, really run blocking well, which is setting up everything else, allowing you to be conservative, move the chains, have long drives, a long 7-minute, what did they have, like a 7-minute drive last week, or a really long drive. Having those drives is absolutely critical for the Broncos. And they can wear out a defense. They can then they put their defense back out on the field. They're opportunistic. They're hungry. They're aggressive. They're getting turnovers. That's been the recipe. Play it safe until the defense starts making plays, and then we got to take advantage of those turnovers. Detroit's turning the ball over. So this game, if you just look at it, might set up nicely for the Broncos, but you just wonder if this is where Detroit starts to pick things up and really get going. When we come back here, I want to take a look at the playoff picture in the NFL. The teams that we're looking at, teams that need to lose this weekend for the Broncos, especially if the Broncos beat the Lions. We could be talking on Monday about the Broncos officially being in a playoff spot, not like clinching it, but being in it. There are enough things that could happen for Denver to get in. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.
KMKA is your no-go home of the Denver Broncos. Hear games and news around the team on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Adam Matas with DNVR, the DNVR Bar, and the DNVR Nuggets podcast, and you're listening to The Whole Show with Brady Hull.
Football Friday presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza in Fort Collins. Taking a look at the playoff standings, and the Broncos are ninth right now. That magic number is seven. Getting in at number seven, they are two. The Houston Texans and the Colts stand in front of them directly anyway. But look at this, Angel. Let's go all the way up to the Chiefs. It's a log jam. You've got Baltimore at 10-3 at the holding down the number one spot in the AFC, and then Miami is holding down the second spot at 9-4. After that, it is very interesting because the Chiefs are just 8-5. The Jags are just 8-5. The Browns are just 8-5. The Steelers are 7-6. The Colts are 7-6. The Texans are 7-6. The Broncos are 7-6. But even below then, the Bengals are 7-6. The Bills are 7-6. And honestly,
all four AFC North teams are there.
Yeah. And honestly, the Raiders' win last night keeps them alive. It won't happen, but
I mean, 2-2 in the division.
They're not that far off if they can get really hot and crazy things happen.
And have a tiebreaker over the Broncos.
Yes, they do. And that's why that Raiders game could be huge. I don't know. But we're running out of games here. We got four games left. Denver obviously's got to win. They got to beat Detroit this Saturday. I think a lot of people thinking maybe they could go 3-1, and they could, but they're going to need some help. They need the Texans to lose. The Texans are right in front of them. The Texans are going up against the Tennessee Titans. Now, the Titans just, they got to win.
Stupid.
Yeah, just, you know, if you're up 14, just go win.
That was a failure.
I turned it off. I was like, oh, the muff punt. They got a touchdown. Titans turn it over. They get another touchdown. This game's over. I shut her down. So can Houston beat Tennessee?
Maybe. C.J. Stroud's still working through concussion protocol. They've had a rash of injuries. Will Anderson, I think MetLife Turf took a couple of them out last week, so we'll see where they're at. But Tennessee, they're feeling good.
Yeah, they are. Let's just say we think Houston's going to win.
Where's that game at?
Do we think it's at Tennessee?
Oh, no.
Although Will Levis is like, he's all jacked up and swole and running around screaming and doing crazy stuff. Does Tennessee win?
I think there's a good shot. I mean, Houston is just, they're beat up right now.
Well, and if Tennessee wins, then they're 6-8. And that gets interesting, at least with them. But that could happen.
They're 0-3 in their division, however.
Mm-hmm. But it could happen. Tennessee might be playing their best, right? Maybe they're taking that momentum from Monday and they roll with it. You need Pittsburgh to lose, but you also need the Colts to lose. Angel, it's kind of a win-win here with this setup because the Colts are in front of you and the Steelers are in front of you. One of those teams is going to lose, and they are in a playoff spot. So
Steelers sitting at 3-1 in their division, and they still have to play the Bengals and the Ravens.
But here's the beauty of this, Angel. Steelers, Colts, somebody's going to lose that game unless they tie, which still might help the Broncos. So there's a playoff spot going to be open for grabs. The Texans could leapfrog and get right in there. Or the Broncos could. Or I guess the Bengals could.
And the Colts could still win their division. And then you have Jacksonville that would be left over there. And they're still a pretty decent team.
Well, Jacksonville's got an interesting game because they're home against they're hosting the Ravens.
Oh, yeah.
So Angel, I'm telling you, this is the moment, Broncos country. You want to go to the playoffs? This is the perfect weekend. Chiefs are going up against the Patriots, so I'm not like holding.
Hey, now. At least zappy. Figured it out.
Bill Belichick's going to be with the Chargers in like 5 weeks.
I mean, sweeten up the pot for the trade value.
Yeah. I would imagine the Chiefs win, that they run the show. So, I mean, that's going to make it a little more difficult. But then again, you win this game. If the Broncos win against Detroit, you've got an opportunity still to even take the division. But I'm looking at playoffs, and I know that they're looking at Sean Payton and the Broncos are talking about winning the division still. The Chiefs have the Patriots, then they're home against the Raiders, and then they're at the Chargers. Mm-hmm. No, excuse me. They're home against the Bengals, and then they're at the Chargers. Not a crazy schedule.
Bengals, maybe?
Maybe.
They're figuring stuff out.
But I'm just telling you guys, this is the opportunity right now for the Broncos to get into a playoff spot. They could do it, and they could hold on to that the rest of the way through. This has got to be the hardest of the most difficult of the matchups, isn't it? For Denver the rest of the way through. They have the Patriots, Chargers, and the Raiders.
Yeah.
So you beat Detroit.
I think that Raiders game is going to be more important than...
It'll be a big game.
Yeah. Especially in Vegas.
And the Raiders have shown that they can be awful still, even with Pierce, but they can also score a franchise record in 62. 63. 60 million. May as well have been 60 million. Brandon Staley probably felt like it was 60 million.
But it wasn't 70.
It was not 70. So there's a real opportunity here, folks. But you got to do it now. It's right there in front of you. But you're on the road against a pissed off, hungry Detroit Lions team. Eastside Chris, my Christmas wish list. Broncos and Dolphins in the AFC Championship. I saw that it could come out to be like them in the first round.
It could be. Dolphins still have an outside shot at the one seed. They'll most likely host a playoff game if Buffalo falters at all.
Yeah, so CBS Sports has a projection, a playoff projection. It's got Baltimore finishing number one, so they'd get the bye. Miami finishing number two. And the Broncos squeezing in is that wild card at number seven, so Miami would host Denver. Then it would be Buffalo and Kansas City.
Gross.
And Cleveland and Jacksonville. Joey Flacco.
Joey Flacco. That's a story to watch.
He signed a deal. And there's like a bunch of incentives.
Yeah.
This is like amazing, isn't it?
I mean, he looked elite last weekend.
Elway was right. When he said Joe Flacco was in his prime... You know what he was wrong about? Flacco hadn't hit it yet. Now he's in his prime. He's in his prime now. You're right. That's a great story. Joe Flacco. He can earn up to $4 million for a certain amount of wins this year.
I mean, I don't like Cleveland, but I'm kind of rooting for Joe Flacco.
Yeah, look at this Flacco thing. It includes $4 million in incentives based on winning. A source close to the situation told ESPN's Adam Schefter he's set to make $75,000 for each of the remaining four regular season games he wins this season. If Cleveland makes the postseason, Flacco would also make $250,000 for a wild card win, $500,000 for a divisional round win, $1 million for an AFC championship game win, and $2 million for a Super Bowl win. I mean, he's already rich. He's made a lot of that Baltimore contract he signed.
He was just kind of hanging out.
He was just sitting on the couch.
I'm counting my money. Oh, wait, there's more?
There's more monies? And there's more footballs?
All I got to do is throw a ball?
I want to go football and money. I want to go do those things again. Yeah, that's an interesting story. I think Baltimore running the table so far in the AFC has been an interesting story because a lot of people were critical of Lamar Jackson and how he handled his contract and everything. He's on MVP watch, isn't he? Yeah. Lamar Jackson!
The most electrifying man in all of entertainment.
You know I love Lamar Jackson.
Do they falter at all down the stretch?
They could. Listen, it's that whole thing I say, Angel, until you got to earn it.
I mean, they're at the Jags.
Have the Ravens earned that trust to not falter? They haven't yet.
At the Jags on Sunday, at the 49ers, home against the Dolphins, and home against the Steelers. 2-2, maybe?
You're going to have a hungry Steelers team.
I mean, that Niners game might be a Super Bowl preview.
It might. San Francisco's, I mean, they could. Very well could be. But the Jacksonville game is going to be kind of interesting for Baltimore. I mean, now Trevor Lawrence, who I thought was going to be out for a while, good to go.
Sunshine.
Not even questionable, dude. Like, not even, I guess he played last week.
Did he really break his ankle?
Don't know. It's crazy, though. It's quite the watch right now. And again, this is what, this is the game, man. This is the game of the year for the Broncos. This is the most, it's December 15th, and the Broncos have a big game. This is the biggest game for the Broncos since Super Bowl 50. That, I mean, that's what it is. You're playing, you want to be playing meaningful football in December, and that's what they're doing. They're playing meaningful football in December. It's mid-December. You win against Detroit, you're pretty much going to be playing meaningful football the rest of the way through. It's a dream come true. I'm astonished by it. I'm amazed. Vance Joseph, even Russ, I'm going to give him his, I'm not going to give his flowers. People, that's like the new saying now, is give the guy his flowers. He's better. He's playing conservative football. He's not turning it over. He's better. I do, and he's a great leader. I'm rooting for him. Angel, we haven't had the breakout Russell Wilson game yet, though. We haven't had the he's back, baby. I mean, morons might
some
say
people.
It. Yeah, but they're not like, you're not watching then, because he's not back. He's an average quarterback. He's not back. He's better. He's better, and he's not turning it over. We still may see that Russell Wilson. You know, this could be a ticking time bomb. This conservative play, just opening things up, and Sean Payton's playing chess while everybody's playing checkers. And then suddenly we just see a Russell Wilson explosion type game. Could be. So my poll question is, who's winning? Broncos or Lions? It's essentially playoffs for the Broncos. You win this game, I'm telling you, somebody... Some of those teams we just went through that need to lose are going to lose. Somebody's going to lose. Well, the Colts and the Steelers, somebody has to lose there. There's going to be a spot open. So it's a big one. 38 minutes after the hour on Gel. Let's jump out and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Jerry Schimmel, voice of the UNC Bears and host of Amazing Americans. And you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by Chevron. Who you got this weekend? The Broncos or the Detroit Lions? As we've talked about this one, it is a huge game for both teams, really. And the Lions are going to make the playoffs unless they just have like an epic collapse, Angel. But they have bigger things in mind. They want to be playing their best football in these next 4 weeks. They want to be setting up. They don't want people thinking that they're a fraud. But this Detroit offense is the real deal. I mean, are they third in the league? They can pretty much do it all. They're a great run team. And
depending on which running back they use.
Right. And that's,
imagine if they use both of them.
That's the thing about this Lions team. Again, this last month, they've just gotten into this mode, Angel, where are they out? Is Dan Campbell, is he one of those guys that's just out thinking himself right now?
On the offensive side, I don't think so. I don't think he really manages the offense that much.
But as far as in-game decision-making and such, you know, and when to be aggressive, when not to be aggressive, you've certainly seen this team just not look cohesive, especially on offense the last 3-4 weeks.
Well, I think that's maybe just a part of where they're at in their culture and their rebuilding process. They haven't had this good of a team in a long time, so it's kind of just, it's unknown territory almost.
And they do have stud running backs, man. I mean, Montgomery's, they're both going to have 1,000 yards, probably.
Yeah, they just take turns.
Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery, I mean, like, that is a 1-2 punch that is just lethal.
And then, you know, St. Brown and Williams at the receiving spot.
Yeah.
They use their tight ends well.
Just got to, if you're Jared Goff, you just can't turn it over. They've been the opposite of the Broncos. Just, if you turn it over, again, Angel, turnovers are such a... Sometimes they're overrated, sometimes they're underrated.
No, they're the biggest thing.
If you're turning the ball over, that changes everything. Oh, that makes it a team that's lesser. You just basically gave them... You just gave them a few points there.
No, momentum is a huge thing in the NFL.
Possessions. You get more possessions. And you want to talk about analytics. Give me more possessions than I should have had. And I wonder what the stats look like. Oh, if I have three more possessions because of turnovers... probably going to win.
Yeah, you can change the vibe of a game. You change the play calling. You change, you know, there's hesitancy. There's doubt a little bit. Well, you know, oh, man, that play didn't work. Should we even do that play again? Like, no, it changes a lot.
Yeah, it really does. But a big one tonight, Saturday Night Football. I heard Tanner Swint trying to change the rules of life.
Just when I think there's not a take that could be wrong.
Well, he just thinks about, like, he lives in this world of what would make, because they got cow milking or whatever that they do on Sundays. So if they don't.
They milk their cows?
Probably, or square dance-a-thons that they got to get going on, whatever they do at the farms. And he doesn't, like, want to watch football on Sunday, so he's like, move it to Saturday, because that's convenient to me. I got to, like, check the chickens.
There's tons of people that watch on Sundays, so you can just assume that more people will watch on Saturday.
He wants to change everything. Like, he's saying, move college football to Sunday?
We have bowl games tomorrow.
And then move NFL games to Saturday?
And then move prep, you know, keep preps on Fridays, because Friday's the biggest day, and no other football besides preps.
His reasoning was, I was listening.
Oh, there's one college football game on a Friday. Catastrophe.
He's like, I mean, what was his reasoning for wanting to change it to NFL to Saturday?
I don't know. Just like, people drinking more? Like, I don't want to be hungover on Monday. I'd rather be hungover on Sunday.
God, this is, you realize it's such a, that's like such the bad way to view things. Move the games to Sunday because I don't like being hungover on Monday. Here's the thought. Don't drink on Sunday. Or have, like, three beers. You know, you could probably be okay with that.
As if, like, is there a less number of people drinking on Saturday than Sunday?
I don't know. But I love that we're in
the reasoning was, like, more people, a lot of people watch NFL.
Yeah.
So if you put it on Saturday, that's going to make more people watch it.
We're in a world today that's like, let's schedule our holidays based on our drinking. Yeah,
well, Tanner
that's
doesn't even
why
like
we're
holidays,
in the trouble.
So.
Well, he's, and then people are like, move the Super Bowl to Friday because we want to get, again, we're scheduling our
be
world.
Hammered all week.
We're scheduling our world around drinking. We're
My
scheduling
team's not
our
even
holidays.
In it, but I just want to drink.
Stupid. No, football, NFL football is Sunday. College football is Saturday. High school football is whenever because I like college football on Friday too.
I do too.
And Thursday and Wednesday. You know, I like
you
it.
Have a weird Tuesday game every once in a while.
Yeah, it's like, action. What is happening here? Yeah, a little action going on. I know it's Football Friday presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza, but quick note for you. We've got the CU Buffs, UNC Bears basketball game on KFKA tonight. Mike Rice with the blue and gold pregame show at 5:30.
Be live from that game.
And yeah, and
cool.
He's going to be there.
And see Mike Rice.
6 o'clock tip off. Buffs are a 21.5 point favorite tonight over the UNC Bears. And of course, Angel, you're saying hammer the cover.
Yeah, they're going to cut. That's way too much. 22 point, that's absurd for a basketball game.
You really think they're going to cover that?
Yes.
I don't know. Maybe. This UNC offense is showing that they can score.
There you go.
They can get cooking. Defense, though, can they stop Tristan Da Silva? And K.J. Simpson, and if Cody Williams plays, I mean, you heard Tad Boyle. He's listing every player on his roster yesterday, talking about how good they are. And I'm like, we get it, Tad. You're good.
Does Tad lay off a little bit because it's his former team?
I don't think so.
I don't know. I mean, you could tell your players, hey, take a don't overlook these guys. And then you get to the game, and it's, oh, we overlooked those guys.
The players could. Tad can't. If you play with your food in this game and you happen to lose or it's even close, they will hold that against you. You gotta win big.
I mean, I think this Bears team is still looking for that. I think the defensive chemistry is what you're looking for. Early on, you're looking for that offensive chemistry. They're starting to find it a little bit. I think Jaron Riley coming back and starting at the point guard has helped them. But now you got to get that defense figured out.
Eastside Chris says, Tanner is on drugs. Is there an HR issue?
Well, maybe he's drinking his cow's milk or something.
I'm just saying.
Last I checked, those aren't dairy cows.
Tanner's, you know, he's that guy that's like, they should change all this because it's convenient for me. And I'm like, dude, Sundays, football?
Maybe do your milking on Saturday.
Yeah, maybe change the square dance-a-thon to Saturday night. You guys could be out there square dancing on Saturday night.
You know, cow circle seance you got going on. You can move it. Move it.
He's going to kill us, Angel. 48 minutes after the hour, it's the whole show. Powered by Chevron. All right, I'm going to do, how many picks you want me to do this weekend? Because when all the football
games.
Got some
Mountain West games to pick.
You want me to do that?
We could do that.
Okay, you have them ready for, and you just throw them at me. I'm going to go whatever, based on feel. And then I'll do Broncos, Lions, obviously. 48 after the hour. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.
KFKA, home of the Hall of Famers. Brian Carey and Coach Bruce Dick. Hear them every day on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.